All right, you're here with 95.7 WLXL. This is Interview Radio. My name is Lexington, or Little Lex. I'm here with Ben.
Hi, Lexington.
Hi, and we are also here with Miss Kristen Voskuhl, the Marketing Director at the Living Arts and Science Center.
Hello.
Hi. All right, can you tell us a little bit about the Living Arts and Science Center?
Sure. We are located at the corner of North Martin Luther King and 4th Street downtown. And we have been serving the Lexington community for over 48 years, providing art and science education for kids, sort of an experience outside of the classroom. Just, you know, supplemental classes, bringing in educational experiences that are above and beyond what can be had in schools.
Right. Well, you all have some amazing things going on over winter break, which is great because maybe parents are, I think the first week's fun, but by the second week you're ready for school to start again. So can you speak to some of those?
Sure. Yeah, we have classes while winter break is happening. We have 2 weeks of classes. The first week of classes is that break between Christmas, or I'm already confused, is the week right before Christmas.
Right.
And then the second week is the week between Christmas and New Year's. And we have a lot of different classes for every age group, preschool to high school, something really for every imagination.
Right. And you brought some of the stuff in today that that students can participate in and create. And it's adorable. There's, I guess, is this a salt crystal or a sugar crystal snowflake right,
right.
here?
Yeah, this is made with a borax solution.
Okay.
So it's sort of that idea of art and science combined.
Awesome.
The students make a solution with borax, and then they can shape pipe cleaners into any shape that they like. And then that sits inside the borax solution. And then the next day they come in and they have a surprise that looks like, you know, it's sparkly and beautiful.
Yes, it looks just like crystals.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what else do you have here? This is from the Mother Goose.
Yeah, the title of the class for this one is called Mother Goose and Friends. And it's a class for kindergarten through second graders.
Okay.
And it's actually, you get to design your own doll based on, like, a fairy tale character or,
okay.
you know, any character, I'm sure, that you're, that you love. And then you learn basic sewing skills and, you know, you create the doll, you learn how to sew and put it together, and then you decorate and make it come to life.
Yes, and the one you brought in, is that Humpty Dumpty?
That is Humpty Dumpty,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
He has little tears,
aww.
Little bead tears sewn on, and
yes.
and a frown.
And a frown, but he's very plush, very comfy, a perfect doll.
Yeah, he's very, very cute. And this is, like I said, a class for kindergarten through second grade, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I always love to see what the kids come up with. You know, it's usually way beyond what I could imagine.
Right, right, of course. And there is, I mean, the range of classes, they help those kindergartners and those younger kids, but also, you know, high schoolers and older kids, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. For high schoolers, we have an anime class, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
So you learn the Japanese style of drawing and, you know, explore that area to sort of increase your range, drawing range. But what's really interesting about our high school classes is I think sometimes kids can be intimidated, like, I'm not a great artist, I couldn't do that. But really it is for beginners as well. So the teachers are there to show you how to do it. Even thinking about the kindergarten class we were talking about, I signed my kindergartner up, and then I was like, oh, I don't know, will she be able to sew? Is it going to be? And I was talking to the teacher, and she's like, the point is that they learn how to do it here. She's
right.
like, we don't expect them to come in already knowing how to do it. Then why would we have the class?
Right.
So, and I think especially with high school students, that's can be sort of a barrier, even
yes.
middle school students. But the point is that you're going to learn how to do these things in the class, not that you already know how to do it.
Right. And talk a little bit about the teachers.
Yeah. the teachers that we have are all professional artists, working artists. It's not taught by, you know, just anybody we can drum up off the street. One of our teachers that everybody loves to take a class from, his name is Patrick Smith.
Yes.
He's a local artist and known for, like, just colorful, big, like, graphic yes. pieces. And he's just got a really big personality, and kids really like that about him. But he teaches really in-depth drawing, cartooning styles, graffiti style art. He's really in tune with, like, what the drawing styles that kids are in tune with.
Right.
And he's a younger guy. He works at Third Street Stuff, making coffee. I get my coffee from him in the morning. So,
perfect.
Yeah. But we do pride ourselves that our teachers are artists. So they're teaching kids, you know, showing them their craft and their skills. So that's a nice collaboration.
Yes. Well, and I see here that his classes are for K through 12th grades. So really anybody can go. And then the great thing that y'all offer is different times.
Right. So if you're looking at our schedule and thinking that it would be helpful for your kids to have something to do that week, our classes are generally 3 hours long. We have some class in the morning and a class in the evening, so that they could be there from 8 o'clock to 5:30, or, you know, they could come in and just take a class for 3 hours. You can kind of mix and match and combine, so you can make it what fits your schedule.
And are parents invited, or is this something for that child to shine?
This is just for the kids, so okay. It's a drop-off program. They will be well looked after
of
while
course.
They're there. And yeah, it's a chance for them to really, like I was saying before, just interact with a working artist and have that sort of one-on-one instruction. And our class limit is 12, so it is really a one-on-one experience.
Right. Well, and it's easy, especially the younger you go, and kind of that middle school age, they get out of hand really quickly. So that 12 is a good number that people can make friends. But also, you know, that artist isn't
overwhelmed.
Right.
Yeah, right. But, you know, it's been my experience that the kids are very engaged in the activities that they're doing. And there's not much wild behavior going on. It really does keep them engaged and active during the time that they're there.
Good. Now, if someone wants to register, it's the 22nd, so obviously they won't be able to register for Winter 1, but they can still register for Winter 2, right?
That's right, yeah. And you can do that by visiting our website, www.lasclex.org, or by calling us at 859-252-5222.
Okay.
Either way, we'll get you registered for what you need.
Okay, awesome. And you can see a full listing of those classes on the website, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, that kind of covers these next few weeks, but what do you all have planned for January and February and the months to come in 2016?
Well, we're actually in the process now of putting together our next schedule, so our spring schedule that goes through April. And we have some exciting stuff in there. We're getting ready to open this new facility, hopefully.
Okay,
yeah, hopefully sometime in February. You know, it's construction, so things just
right.
keep, like, morphing into some sort of new project. But we're looking at the middle of February, and so we're trying to take advantage of some of the new spaces that we'll have in this new class schedule. So, for example, we will have a full-time clay studio, which we've never had
awesome.
That before. We offer clay classes now, and we've done it forever, but it's mostly been limited to, like, hand building and painting, because we've had to take them downstairs all the way to our basement to fire and all of that, so that hasn't been really a part of it. But we'll have wheels for all of the students in the new clay studio, and we'll have our kiln right there, so it'll be the full clay experience. So we're building classes for that right now, for kids and adults.
Okay.
And then we're also looking to have our digital media lab open. Oh, so that awesome. Will be a lot of, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, film classes, photography classes.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're just sort of putting together what that's going to look like. We'll have to ease into it a little bit and see what it becomes, but we're really excited to get these spaces open.
Awesome. You mentioned adult classes. What's that entail? And
yeah, we're going to be offering adult classes on Saturdays, and then also on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evening.
Okay.
Some of the classes will be, you know, some painting classes, clay classes. We're going to have, and I'm not sure if this will be in the first schedule or not, but we have a beautiful kitchen area that is going to be like a teaching kitchen.
Oh.
So there'll be classes to take there that are cooking classes, possibly from a local chef, possibly like family cooking classes, a lot of different opportunities. We're just excited to get all of it started.
Right. Well, and your goal is to bring arts into the community, and you've done that for 48 years.
Right.
So talk about the art exhibits you all have on site, and how will that change with the new facility?
Yeah. Some of the exhibits that we're looking at for next year are, we'll have the Creative Camera Club back at some point. That's always a very popular exhibit. We'll have our youth arts exhibit at some point. We are having the folks from Dev Run Play come. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not. Tell us a little bit about that.
They are programmers, and so they are bringing together like computer programming and the arts to create some electronic art within the building.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I think during the event, it's also a time for people to come and sort of do some of that hands-on to create their own sort of electronic art in the building. So
what would be an example of something like that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to come up with, but the things that I heard them talk about are maybe we're going to have this. We have this two-story glass wall in the front of our new building, and things can be projected from the inside or the outside and shown on this glass wall. So they were talking about like creating some sort of little animals or figures or creatures of some sort that could climb up the wall or run around and chase other creatures.
Would it be like a living stained glass kind of thing?
Sort of, yeah. I could, yeah. That's an interesting way to describe it.
But and you'd be able to see it on both sides of the glass, inside and out?
Not at the same time, but because it would compete with each other, right? So, yeah, but we could set it up so that it's happening on the outside and people, you know, in the neighborhood could see it. It's like a art show in a park, basically.
Awesome.
So we're really excited about that. And then as part of our new sort of spaces, we're also going to have a children's art gallery.
Awesome.
And so we'll be able to exhibit the work of the kids that happens in our classes, but also other kids around the state, other kids around the country. We're talking about doing some exchanges with similar organizations from around the country where our art would go to them and their art would come to us. And then other kids around the world, too. So I think that's going to be a really exciting space for kids to get to see their work presented in that way. And then see what other kids, how it is different in other parts of the country or world.
Yeah, what's the furthest place you guys have been in contact with that you might show some of their work in Lexington?
Yeah, you know, I don't know those specifics. I don't. But our executive director is working on that. She's keeping it close to her vest because she wants it to be a big surprise.
Oh, it's a surprise.
Yeah. It is. It's a surprise.
That's awesome. When, and you may not know the answer to this, but with the multimedia and the media arts, would you all do like a film festival or a event like that?
Yeah, it's absolutely been talked about because, like I was saying, with the ability to project images on that glass wall from the outside,
yes.
that it would be lovely to do something like that in the summer where people could sit out on the lawn and see either student films that are made or you know, something curated. But yeah, it's just a really exciting time because there's so much we can do.
And you can do it fairly cheaply with prosumer or consumer cameras and projectors and things like that.
Yeah, it's weird how, I mean, you guys know, being here, how just all of that stuff has gotten so much more affordable. And you can even make little films on it with using your phone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so much more accessible now, I think, than it used to be. So, yeah, I mean, we have a ton of things planned. Our challenge is being a small nonprofit. We have 8 people on staff, so it's sort of, you know, we all have really big ideas, executing them. And we like to do things really well, too, so we don't want to take on something that we can't, you know, live up to what it can be. So we're just trying to right now kind of figure out what are the things we can do in this first year, and then what are some things we can sort of build on for years to come.
How have you seen it change over the years? And I'm not sure, and we can speak a little bit about that, about your involvement and your history with Lexington Arts.
Yeah, well, I'm actually pretty new. I've only been there about, what is it now, 3 or 4 months, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I was on the board before, so I'm familiar with the organization.
Of course.
That was about 8 years ago, so I've been involved then, I guess, you know, for 10 years. So, but I'm super excited to be there now because it's such a great time with all the changes going on. But I know that the history of the center is basically some parents got together and wanted to provide some art classes for children that, you know, they felt like they weren't getting the level of instruction that they wanted. And they were doing it out of the back seat of a car at any, you know, any location they could find to do it that would let them sort of come in and bring out all their boxes of materials and let their kids sit around. And it just evolved from there. And our location there on Martin Luther King and 4th Street is a historic house that was built in the 1800s.
Okay.
And it was donated to the center, I'm not sure, about 20 years ago, okay. maybe. And it has an interesting history because it was Lincoln's lawyer owned it.
Okay.
And he was part of the Kincaid family, which,
okay.
so the house sort of stayed in his lineage, and then the Kincaid family donated it to the center. So, but that's been just such a blessing because it has allowed us to stay open in very thin times because we own that house and we own that property there. And it also allowed us to build this exciting new building because we actually had the land to do that on. So that gift from the Kincaids has really been what's kept the center going for all of these years.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this is 95.7 WLXL. My name's Lexington. I'm here with Ben.
Hi, Lexington.
Hi. And we are here with Ms. Kristen Vascool, the marketing director at Living Arts and Sciences. So we've talked a lot about the arts. How about we talk a little bit about the sciences?
Okay.
So there's the planetarium. What else?
We also will have an expanded discovery center. So anyone who's visited us in the last few years has seen our discovery center in the old building. We house our animals there.
Okay.
And we have a couple exhibits there a year that bring in a lot of kids for field trips. And it's all interactive, hands-on activities that sort of come together with a theme. So the one that we have now is on color.
Okay.
Okay. And so our animal is a chameleon, which I think is kind of fun.
That's awesome.
And our first one will be a space exhibit. So we are getting some items. Actually, our executive director is traveling to Washington, D.C. over the break to collect some items from the Langley Center to bring for our space exhibit. So I'm not sure exactly what all those items are, but it's going to be cool. I know part of it is a moon rock that has to be escorted from there to here. Someone has to be with it every day or every hour of the day. It has to be either under someone's supervision or under lock and key. So that's kind of interesting. We'll have that there in our new exhibit. And I think there's going to be some spacesuits and things too. I'm not 100% sure what the final call was, but whatever it is, it's going to be fabulous, I know. And the space is twice as big, so we'll have twice as many fun interactive things to do. And that'll be, you know, fun. That's just to bring kids down to. We are open every day until like 6, and then we have weekend hours as well. So it's a fun just drop-in thing for kids to do.
Awesome. So like I could take my niece and nephews.
Absolutely.
At any point.
That is, yeah. And it's fun for adults, too. It's kind of, you know, strange, I guess. Adults are always like, is it okay if I come? I don't have any kids. We're like, yeah, come along. We do a discovery night the first Thursday of every month. Okay. And that's something that adults are always like, is it okay? I want to come hold the brain. Is that okay? I don't have any kids. So, yeah, everybody's welcome. And, yeah, everybody has fun too. So,
we'll talk a little bit about those discovery nights. What do they entail?
So it's a different topic every month, and it's the first Thursday of every month.
Of course.
The one that we just had was on the art of stained glass, and so we had stained glass artist Dan Barnes there, and he did a talk about how he does his work, and he's also donated a beautiful piece that we're going to have in our lobby area in the new building. So it's topics like that. I mentioned the brain. We had some professors come from UK and bring a brain.
Ooh.
And so kids could see it and I even hold it, touch it. So yeah, it's like that. I think the first one we're going to have is connected with space, but I'm not sure when. We have a lot of things in flux because of the construction.
Of course.
So some of those details aren't nailed down yet. But we have a very robust Facebook page. So if you're interested in what the schedule of events is going to be, I'd say follow us on Facebook and you'll be able to find out there.
Yes.
And it's always an issue in Lexington. Where do people park when they want?
Yes, that is always an issue, isn't it? We have a parking lot. So... Mm-hmm. That is a good place to park, right there in the parking lot.
Good. Do people need to call in or register or let y'all know that they're coming? Or?
Well, it depends on what it is you're wanting to do. To take one of our classes, you need to register, and that you can do that by going to our website or calling. If you wanted to come to Discovery Night, that is just a drop-in program.
Okay.
It requires no registration. We ask for a $2 a person donation. That is a donation. It's not required. And then some of our other things that we'll have when the new building opens, like the planetarium, the Discovery Center that I was talking about, those are just drop-in programs. You can come by anytime we're open to do those things. And we will have a schedule of planetarium shows available also on our Facebook page when we have that sort of nailed down.
I was about to ask about the planetarium because that just seems so cool. So what will that experience be like?
Well, we'll be Lexington's only planetarium. There isn't one as we speak. We have always had what we call blow-up planetarium. So it's an inflatable that you go inside and there's projections on the inflatable, and we have that in our building, and then we take it out for field trips. And it's always been super popular. So that's why we decided to have this permanent planetarium in the new building. And it's so exciting because it's really cool in there. It's just, you know, it's domed as you would expect. And there'll be seating around the edges. And there'll be an open space in the middle. So you can sit there or, if you're so inclined, lay there. And, yeah, look at the projection, which, you know, there's going to be some exciting different things. Of course, the star show is one, but we're talking with some people at UK that can really do some exciting things. One thing is you can tell them any date in history and any place, and they can recreate what was happening in the sky at that time and place.
That's awesome.
Which I think just sounds really fascinating. So you could say, like, I want to know what the Aztecs saw in the sky, you know, at this time, and they can recreate that. So we're working with them on some things like that. But it's also just a projection system. So we're talking about, you know, can you have a film show in there? Could you use it as a performance space, because it, you know, it's kind of like a theater in the round as well. So yeah, there's just a lot of things you can do with it.
Well, we have talked a lot about the visual arts, but do you have any programs for maybe dance or other arts?
Those are some things that we're hoping to kind of bring back. We have done some things here and there, but our space has been so tight in the past that we just haven't been able to accommodate. I know last summer they did some, like, Chinese dancing. They had somebody come and teach, like, traditional Chinese dance. So we have been doing it here and there, but they are looking to expand some of those offerings now that we'll have that performance space. And the ability to do some of that.
It seems like this new space is going to open up so many new doors for y'all, but also for Lexington, for people to get involved.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of this stuff has been talked about for years. Oh, I wish we could offer, you know, more performance-type activities, you know. And so it's starting to sort of come to fruition. But, yeah, I really encourage people to come down and check us out after the first of the year and see what's going on. We have all kinds of ways to get involved. If you're looking for volunteer opportunities, we have tons of ways to help us.
What are some
volunteer?
Of those?
Well, I mean, all the way from, like, helping us build our office furniture that we need, you know, and our furniture for some of these spaces, to help us sort of get things rolling. Like, you wouldn't imagine the amount of work that some of this stuff is. You know, we have volunteers that come and help us do cleaning. Okay. We have volunteers that come and help us stuff envelopes for all sorts of things. Anytime we're having a special event, we always need a lot of volunteers to help with those. Like our Day of the Dead Festival we just had, it takes a lot of volunteers to put that on. So there's all kinds of different opportunities.
Well, it is important to remember that while some of the classes may have a price associated with them, y'all are a nonprofit, so you accept outside donations?
Absolutely. We have raised $5.5 million to open this, or to build this new building, and all of that was done through private donations. So we wouldn't exist without donations. The money that we get from classes sort of pays for the lights and, you know, pays for there to be a teacher there to teach that class. But we live off of donations.
Are you guys part of the
Good Giving Guide?
Good Giving Guide.
We are part of the Good Giving Guide, yeah.
And that's what bggives.org.
That's right, yeah.
And they would just search for Living Arts and Science Center.
That's right. We've raised, I think, about $5,000 through that so far this giving season. Mm-hmm. But we have a hashtag, Grow the LASC. So if you get on your favorite social media channel and look up hashtag Grow the LASC, you can see all the different ways that we are using the money within the community. And just, you know, there's some videos about that show these new spaces in their current sort of form. There, it's all construction, but you can get a good idea of what these spaces look like. There's some good stuff there, and it'll also lead you to how to donate if through that hashtag Grow the LASC.
That is awesome. I noticed on your website you have something that has to do with water conservation. So how are y'all working to help make Lexington a little greener?
Well, the program that you saw on our website is we were given some money from the water conservation group, and we use that to take some classes to elementary schools, some of the lower performing schools. So we take a water conservation science class to that school, Science Explorers it's called, and we talk about different science concepts behind water and also how to conserve and reuse. And they do some pollution testing and some runoff discussions about runoff. And it's really fun to see kids kind of experience different things with that. You know, some light bulbs turn on.
Of course.
Yeah, so we just had it at five elementary schools that just wrapped up about a month ago.
Wow. Now, that's different from your Wonder on Wheels program, correct?
It is. It's hard to keep them all straight, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a program that we do for free, the one I was just talking about, which is based on some grant money that we received from the water folks. The Wonder on Wheels is a program that we offer where we bring basically our field trips that you could experience at our facility to the school.
Okay.
So, like I said, the Blow Up Planetarium, we can bring that to your school. We can bring art or science teachers to do some supplementary classes in your school. We can do both and tie it all together.
Tell me more about the Blow Up Planetarium. How does that work?
It is like a big inflatable, basically. Okay. Kind of like an igloo shape.
Is it like a bouncy castle, like, except for a planetarium?
Except it's kind of like a bouncy castle turned upside down where the bouncy part's on top of you and you get inside of it.
Okay.
And, it's a planetarium show. So we can take that anywhere. There's space big enough to...
About how big is that?
I don't know, but we have to use our art gallery to house it when we have it at our own facility. So, you know, you have to have kind of elevated ceilings. And it's pretty big. It fits a classroom of kids inside, so, yeah.
All right, well, this is why we pre-recorded.
So you're going to fix me too then, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This is great. Let's talk a little bit about scholarships, because it might not be in everybody's ability to pay for some of these classes, but you all do offer scholarships, right?
We do offer scholarships, and that's just the process of coming down and getting an application and filling it out. Again, we use grant money to offer scholarships, and also during our big annual fundraiser that is called Heartful of Fun, that happens around April.
Okay.
We do a scholarship auction. So we have a live auction where people can bid to pay for scholarships. So that's a way that we raise money to fund those scholarships throughout the year.
And what do you auction off?
Well, for the scholarship auction, we actually auction off the right to say that you purchased that.
Oh, just the funding
of
the scholarship.
Okay. But... at the event, we also have other auction items. Some of the live auction items that we've had in the past have been trips, vacation homes, like, you know, a week stay in a vacation home. different sort of experiences like that. And then we have a silent auction, too, that has just a lot of local businesses, you know. And then we always have art of some, in some way, shape, or form that is available for purchase or auction.
Okay.
And that helps us raise a lot of money that keeps our doors open all year round. So that event this year is going to be in our new facility, which I'm super excited about because it'll give us a chance to show off this building, and we're going to have it active. So, you know, we're going to have someone in the clay studio showing you, you know, making something right there that you can see. So it's an experience, and our galleries will be full. We'll have some kind of art making experience in the digital media lab. The planetarium will be open. So I'm really looking forward to getting people down to see what this new space is all about.
And that's in April?
That is in April, okay. Yes.
Yeah. So people can look out and they purchase tickets?
You purchase tickets. They'll be available again at our website, lasclex.org. Yeah, just keep watching because a lot of stuff is coming. And I mentioned our Facebook page, and we're active on Twitter, too. So, yeah, lots of ways to find us.
Awesome. It seems like y'all have a ton of stuff planned for the upcoming year.
And we do, yeah.
Just lots of exciting things.
So much going on, yeah.
Is there anything we've missed, anything we haven't gone over that might be coming up in the next next few months?
I think that pretty much covers it.
And hold on, I think.
Have I talked for an hour?
Not quite, but there's an announcement. So we'll take a break while the announcement finishes for a second because I can hear that on the recording.
Is there anything else that
Well, first of all, I'm saying your name right, correct?
It's Voskul.
Voskul.
Yeah, but, Voskul. You know, whatever.
All right. Oh, you can hear that.
Yeah.
What else? What about professional development? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It's basically we just offer classes for teachers to come in, and there's a picture of our new building.
Oh my goodness, that's fabulous.
Oh, well, let's talk about the building then, or the pictures you've got going there.
I don't know if I have very many.
We'll work with it.
Yeah. Okay, we're good.
All right. Well, you brought some pictures of the building, so can you describe that for us? Because it is a beautiful, beautiful structure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really fascinating because I mentioned before that the Kincaid family donated this house and this property, and when this discussion sort of started about, well, we need more space, a lot of people sort of came to us and said, you know, you're making a mistake because you own this property, you could sell it and move out to the suburbs and you would be where people are, you know, your clientele is there and it wouldn't cost you. You know, you might actually even make some money on the deal. You know, you wouldn't have to go through all this heartache of trying to raise this money and go through this construction project. And it really just doesn't make sense for you guys to be down here. And our executive director just felt really strongly that we are a part of this community downtown. And we have been there for 48 years. And we do what we do in part to service this community. A lot of our free programming is for the schools that are around us that are underperforming. And we just felt like it was critical that we stay downtown and that was a big part of who we were. So after, you know, making that decision, we're sitting in this historic building on 1.5 acres, and you know, it's hard to build on a historic building and do it justice. You know, the building was built in the 1800s. So after some discussions within the community and with the architects, it was decided that we would go with just this super modern structure that is a real departure from the historic building. But now that it's built, the two just, they really speak to like two different sides of who we are and who we were and who we're gonna be. I mean, it's just, it's exciting to have these two different structures in our space. And the new, when it's finished, there's gonna be like a lot of nice grounds. So, you know, one thing that we really wanted to do was sort of have that inside-outside experience. So there's a lot of glass so that when you're outside, inside, you're sort of still a part of the outside. So the grounds are going to be a really important part of it. And we're going to have two gardens, one in our courtyard area, which is between the old house and the new building. And John Karloftis is on board for designing that courtyard space.
Oh, awesome.
And he's a well-known Lexington landscape architect. And then we'll also have a rooftop garden. You can't really see too well in this picture, but you can be on the roof and sort of looking down into this two-story structure or looking over into the courtyard. So it's really exciting space. And I think the neighborhood, it's really going to be uplifting for the neighborhood. And it is park-like and bringing a lot of just beautiful space to the people that live there and obviously people who want to come down and experience it too.
Right. Well, and that's one of the great things about art is that you can capture your environment and a lot of it's affected by your environment. So now there's, you know, gardens that if there needs to be a still life or a photography project, it's better than being inside a building. You can go out and you can kind of experiment with things.
Right, yeah. I mean, the grounds are really as important as the space inside the building. Yeah, and we're going to have some gardens where we'll be growing some food to be used in our teaching kitchen.
Awesome.
And so when we were talking about conservation earlier, you know, we're going to be trying to grab all the rainwater and using that for watering our spaces and really trying to keep all of that in mind and how everything works together through the building process and then as we go forward with our programming as well.
That's awesome. Well, it's a beautiful building and we're so excited to see it be all finished after the new year.
Yeah, and we're your neighbor. We're just like a couple streets down you guys. So you can walk over and have lunch on our grounds, right?
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
So to wrap up, can we talk a little bit about membership? Because I know that's something that's very important for y'all.
Yeah.
But what are the perks and kind of how do people get signed up for that?
Yeah, again, everything happens on our website. So you can go to our website and get signed up for a membership or give us a call. We offer individual family memberships and then some other levels above that for, you know, donations. And again, we're in the process of sort of reworking what that's going to be with the planetarium and all of that. So, I mean, no one's listening to me say this right now, so I can say it out loud, right?
Sure.
If you want to get the best deal on a membership, do it today before the memberships change at all. Because, you know, a membership is for a year. So, you know. You're getting last year's membership for the next year. But I didn't say that, so I'm just, you know, you had that idea on your own, right?
Right, of course. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's go over real quick, and we'll edit all this out, but let's go over the winter break two stuff and kind of how to get signed up so we can wrap the show up with that.
Okay, yeah. So if you're interested in the Winter Break 2 classes, the best way to get signed up for that is either by calling us at 859-252-5222 or by going on our website, www.lasclex.org.
Awesome. All right. Well, this has been 95.7 WLXL. It's Interview Radio. My name is Lexington. I'm here with Ben.
Hi, Lexington.
And we've been speaking with Kristen Voskuhl, the marketing director at the Living Arts and Science Center here in town.